Thank you, Ganesh, and dear listeners. After Vedam, like we have on every Thursday, it is time for learning a new bhajan. And before we begin, I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to all the listeners for their support and their words of encouragement for this program. Now the program is 45 minutes long, and we have been constantly thinking of how to improve it without increasing its duration, and we have gathered a few ideas. If you have any ideas, dear listeners, please feel free to write to us. We would collate all these and try to implement some of these ideas so that we can take this program to a new level in this year of 90th birthday of Bhagwan. We definitely want to continue this program because of the overwhelming response that we have received. We only want to ensure that we do not stagnate at where we are, and we constantly try to improve this program incrementally. So please feel free to write to us about how you think we can make this Radio Sai Bhajan classroom better. So let's move on. There is a beautiful bhajan for us to learn this week. The time in the studio is now 6:53. I am Team Radio Sai Bishu, and please join me. Let us close our eyes and visualize the beautiful form of Satya Sai, of Shiva Sai, of Krishna Sai, of Rama Sai, Sai and Sai and Sai, the universal Sai.
Let us offer our most reverential and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our most merciful Bhagwan. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we see your love in everything we do, so that we feel your presence in every thought that arises in our minds, so that we feel you in every act that we do. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The first line of the bhajan we will be learning today is
Parateshwar Shri Sai Prabho.
So let's begin by becoming familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan, and then, like every episode of this program, we'll move on and learn its tune, its raga, the beat of the bhajan, the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, who is a gifted singer and a composer of many Sai bhajans.
Parteshwara Shri Sai Prabho Ishwaramba Nandana Sai Prabho Ishwara Allah Shri Sai Ram Nam Buddha Zoroastra Sai Krishna Nam Madhava Mohana Sai Narayana Premavatara Prabhu Sai Rama.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow Ravi Kumar after every line. Please pay attention and follow as Ravi Kumar sings.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C Pancham. परतेश्वर श्री साई प्रभो,
परतेश्वर श्री साई प्रभो,
परतेश्वर श्री साई प्रभो,
परतेश्वर श्री साई प्रभो।
ईश्वराम्बनन्दन साई प्रभो,
ईश्वराम्बनन्दन साई प्रभो,
ईश्वराम्बनन्दन साई प्रभो,
ईश्वराम्बनन्दन साई प्रभो।
परतेश्वर श्री साई प्रभो,
परतेश्वर श्री साई प्रभो।
ईश्वर अल्लाह श्री साई राम नाम,
ईश्वर अल्लाह श्री साई राम नाम,
ईश्वर अल्लाह श्री साई राम नाम,
ईश्वर अल्लाह श्री साई राम नाम।
बुद्ध जोराष्ट्र साई कृष्ण नाम,
बुद्ध जोराष्ट्र साई कृष्ण नाम,
बुद्ध जोराष्ट्र साई कृष्ण नाम,
बुद्ध जोराष्ट्र साई कृष्ण नाम।
माधव मोहन साई नारायण,
माधव मोहन साई नारायण,
माधव मोहन साई नारायण,
माधव मोहन साई नारायण।
प्रेमावतारा प्रभु साई रामा,
प्रेमावतारा प्रभु साई रामा,
प्रेमावतारा प्रभु साई रामा,
प्रेमावतारा प्रभु साई रामा।
परतेश्वर श्री साई प्रभो।
So that is how this beautiful bhajan flows. Ravi Kumar and Anirudh gave us a demonstration of the tune very slowly. And now for those of us who want to know more about the composition of this bhajan, the technical part of it, Anirudh is here with us in the studio. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga behind this composition?
Sairam Bishu.
Sairam.
It's a very beautiful bhajan and it is one of my very favorite. This is Sindhirag Shuddha Sarang.
Okay.
And as I think we have discussed many Sarang family of ragas before, and this is one of the main ragas in the Sarang family, and it's a very, very, very bright feel, and it adds so much of color to the life to the music. And the notes of this raga go like this.
Ni sa re ma pa, ni sa sa ni dha pa, ma pa re ma re, ni sa.
As I sing the notes only, I can feel the beauty of each note.
Yes.
Ni sa, ni shuddhni, re,
re is also shuddhri,
ma,
here comes the powerful tivra ma,
ma pa ni, ni za, sane dha.
Suddenly it comes to a pleasing dha, shuddha dha.
Dha pa ma.
Tivrama.
Ma pa ma.
This is the other ma. The beauty is that the difference between both the mas are beautifully shown in the raga.
Ma pa ma re ni re sa.
So this is Shuddha Sarang.
This is a Hindustani raga.
Yeah, Hindustani raga. And there is one bhajan which comes to my mind, which is almost similar to the feel of this bhajan is.
Ayodhya Vihari Shri Rama 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 Dwaraka Vihari Shri Krishna Krishna Krishna.
Beautiful.
Beautiful bhajan. Not so many bhajans are there in this raga. And this raga has so many notes to play with, in the sense that
Sane Dama Sa ni da pa ma pa ma re ni za re pa ma ma re.
So each composition is really unique in terms of the beautiful play of the mas and that dha coming into picture. It's a beautiful raga. Once we see the swaras line by line, definitely we'll appreciate the beauty of each line.
But before we move on to the bhajan, Anirudh, would you like to give a small demonstration of this beauty that we are talking about that is there in this bhajan?
Yeah,
the play of the different mas and the...
I will try to do a bit because I have not learnt this raga.
Compositions in this family of sarang are generally very vibrant.
Yeah.
And this one is even more powerful.
There are plenty of bhajans in Brindavan sarang.
Yes.
And Madhumat sarang. So, yes. But in Shuddha sarang, there are a few bhajans like that's what.
Yes.
Ayodhya Vihari is one of the composition which comes to my mind.
Which adds a nice variety to our
bhajans. Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Because there is no ga, like most of the bhajans are major or minor. That is like sariga or sariga. So most of the bhajans are based on this, either this or that. But few bhajans are sarima.
Yes, amazing. I think we can go on deliberating on the raga.
Yeah, so we'll do the bhajan line by line.
Yes.
And when we do the last line of this bhajan, we can see that the expression may not be in the Shuddha Sarang.
Premavatara Prabhu Sai Rama.
It's a small deviation from the expression of Shuddha Sarang, I guess. I don't know. The proper way of
Rimada Rimada Nisani Dava,
which is a bit off from Shuddha Sarang, but all the other lines are based on Shuddha Sarang.
Okay.
This is the first line.
Yeah.
परतेश्वर श्री साई प्रभु पाप मरिने ससासा निपने सरी
पाप मरिने ससासा निपने सरी
ईश्वरांबनंदन साई प्रभु माप माप धनि सनि दाप मरिने रिसा
माप माप धनि सनि दाप मरिने रिसा.
Again we come back to the first line.
ईश्वर अल्ला श्री साई राम नाम मरे मापनी सदा पा मापनी निसासा
मरे मापनी सदा पा मापनी निसासा
बुद्ध जो राष्ट्र साई कृष्ण नाम पानी सरीरी मारे ने रिसा
पानी सरीरी मारे ने रिसा.
The second time you have a beautiful variation.
बुद्ध जो राष्ट्र साई कृष्ण नाम पानी सरीरी निजरी मबरीरे निरिसा
पानी सरीरे निजरी मबरीरे निरिसा
माधव मोहन साई नारायण सानिधनी धापा मापा मापरे पमा
सानिधनी धापा
प्रभु साई रामा रिमदनी सानी दापा पापा मरिनी रिसा
रिमदनी सानी दापा पापा मरिनी रिसा.
I think people who can play this in the instruments will love now they have the notes with them.
Definitely.
So let's move on to the beat, Anil. Anil yeah. is here with the tabla.
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is 8 beat. And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Parateshwar Shri Sai Prabhu.
Parateshwar Shri Sai Prabhu.
Beautiful. So that gives us good idea of the beat as well as some glimpse of the raga. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So now we have become familiar with the lyrics, the raga and the beat of the bhajan. Let's move on now to understand what each word in this bhajan conveys. Let's begin with the first line.
परतेश्वर श्री साई प्रभो.
परतेश्वरा comes from परती and ईश्वरा. परती is पुटपर्ती, the abode of भगवान श्री सत्य साई बाबा. ईश्वरा means God. ईश्वरा means the divinity that is regarded as the possessor of the infinite and inexhaustible wealth. And what is this wealth? It is wealth of all kinds, wealth of knowledge, virtues, wisdom, every conceivable form of wealth in the world. Ishvara is one who has Sakala Aishwarya. The second word, Shri, is often used as a mark of respect. Sai means master. Prabhu also means Lord or Master. So this line, Parthishwara Shri Sai Prabhu, we call out to Lord Sai, who is the master of Puttaparthi, who is the supreme Godhead. Let's move on to the second line.
Ishwarambanandana Sai Prabhu.
Ishwaramba, the Divine Mother who was chosen to be the medium to give birth to the avatar of the age. Ishwara means God, Amba means mother. Actually, after her birth, she was christened Namagiri Amma. But after her marriage to Sri Pedda Venkamaraju, Bhagwan Baba's physical father, her father-in-law, Sri Kondamaraju, the pious grandfather of Baba, told him one day that he should change his wife's name to Ishwaramma. He said that he felt divine vibrations within himself. He felt that something very auspicious was going to happen in the family. And on listening to his father's advice, Pedda Venkamaraju changed the name of his wife from Namagiri Amma to Ishwaramma. In fact, many years after Swami's birth, Sri Kondamaraju used to say, "Ishwaramma, you have no idea of your great good fortune. You are not an ordinary woman. You are the mother of the Lord Himself." Nandana means sun. It also means to gladden or to give delight. Mother Ishwaramma was an epitome of virtues. She was absolutely selfless. And this was reflected in the three desires which she wanted Swami to fulfill for her. And it is through these desires that she was indirectly responsible for the three mammoth projects of Bhagwan, the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, and the Sri Satya Sai Drinking Water Project, and so many allied projects and services. It was Mother Ishwaramma who told Bhagwan that she wanted him to construct a small school in the village because the children were forced to walk distances to attend schools in the neighboring villages. Again, it was Mother Ishwaramma who asked Bhagwan to construct a small hospital in Puttaparthi. And when she saw the people of Puttaparthi struggling for water, she requested Swami that this Rayalaseema region should be provided with proper drinking water. And the Lord not only delighted her by fulfilling her wishes, but made the model institutions for whole world to emulate. He also showed how one must go to any extent to fulfill the noble wishes of one's mother. Ishwaramba Nandana Sai Prabho. We hail Lord Sai, who is the beloved son of Mother Ishwaramba, the one who gladdened her heart by fulfilling her every little selfless desire, the desires that were meant only for the welfare of humanity. Let's move on to the third line.
Parteshwar Shri Sai Prabhu.
This is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan, where we adore Bhagwan as the Lord of Puttaparthi. We move on to the fourth line.
Ishwar Allah Shri Sai Ramanam.
Here Ishwar refers to Lord Shiva, who according to Indian culture and spirituality is one among the Holy Trinity of Gods. He is the aspect of divinity responsible for the dissolution of the cosmos. Allah refers to the formless God worshipped and revered by Muslims. A stands for Atma or the eternal soul. La stands for Layam or merging. Allah signifies therefore merging in the Atma or merging into divinity. The other new phrase in this line is Ramanam. Rama again means the most pleasing one, the most adorable one, the one who purifies our tendencies, the one who dispels our darkness, the one who calms our mind. That is what Ra, A and Ma in Rama mean. The last word Nam means name. In his discourse during Guru Purnima of 2005, Bhagwan lovingly said, "It does not matter whether you sing the divine name loudly or silently. I see only the feeling behind it. Wherever you are, God listens to your prayers. Chant any name of your choice, be it Ishvara, Rama, Krishna, but always remember that God is one. You may call me by any name, I shall respond. In fact, on one occasion, Bhagavan categorically declared, only those who are ignorant of the glory of God will insist on one name and one form for his adoration. And what is worse, condemn the use of other names and forms. And then Bhagavan went on and said, since you are all associated with the Satya Sai organizations, I must warn you against such silly obduracy. Do not go about proclaiming that you are a sect distinct and separate from those who adore God in other names and forms, because thereby you are limiting the very God whom you are extolling. Do not proclaim in your enthusiasm, we want only Sai, we are not concerned with the rest. Swami said, you must convince yourself that all forms are Sais and all names are Sais. There is no rest, there is no other. All are He. And then Bhagavan went on to declare, I have not come to set a foot in new cult. I do not want people to be misled on this point. I affirm that this Sai form is the form of all the various names that man uses for the adoration of the divine. Therefore, I am teaching that no distinction should be made between the names Rama, Krishna, Ishvara, Sai, for they are all my names. So in this line we call out to that Supreme Almighty through all these appellations that have been gifted to mankind from time to time, Ishvara, Allah, Rama and so on. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Buddha Zoroastra Sai Krishna.
Buddha literally means the enlightened one. Zoroastra refers to Zoroaster, the prophet of Iran who formally spread the religion known as Zoroastrianism, one of the earliest revealed religions of the world. Zoroastra means he of the golden light. Krishna comes from the root word Karsh, which means to attract or draw towards, as in Akarshana. Krishna attracts every heart by his divine place, miracle powers and by his love, and draws the mind away from sensory desires. Bhagavan says this attitude of attraction is characteristic of divinity. Bhagavan adds that the divine attracts not to deceive or mislead us, but to transform, reconstruct and reform us. The name Krishna also comes from the root Krish, which means to cultivate. Therefore, Krishna means he who removes the weeds of negative tendencies from the heart of humans and sows seeds of positive traits such as faith, courage and joy. Krishna cultivates the harvest of joy in the hearts of his devotees and makes them aware of him being existence, knowledge, bliss, sat, chit, ananda. So in this line we hail the Lord through his beautiful names, Buddha, Zoroastra, Sai, Krishna. Let's move on to the sixth line.
Madhava Mohana Sai Narayana.
Madhava is another name of Lord Krishna. It can be split as Ma and Dhava. Dhava means husband. Ma refers to not only Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of all types of prosperity and wealth, but also nature, Prakriti. Ma also means illusion. So Madhava is one who is the master of all these, master of nature, master of illusion, master of Mother Lakshmi. Mohana means one who captivates. The other word, Narayana, is the name of Lord Vishnu. Narayana is actually the conjunction of two words, Nara and Ayana. Nara means water and Ayana means resting place. So Narayana means the one whose resting place is water or the ocean. In fact, Lord Narayana is most often depicted as the one reclining on the ocean of milk. But this is the superficial meaning of the name Narayana.
Nara can be further interpreted as Na and Ra. Ra means to perish and Na means no. So Nara means that which does not perish. This refers to the Jivatmas or the living entities or the individual souls, because the soul never dies, it only moves on. Thus in this sense, Narayana means the one whose ayana or resting place is in all Naras or living entities. To put it differently, Narayana is the one who abides in every being. He is the all-pervasive Lord. There's a beautiful experience of a devotee from Australia which happened in mid-70s. The evening when this devotee had this experience, he and his friend were seated in darshan. And in his divine discourse, Bhagwan spoke about prophets and teachers of different faiths. Swami also mentioned how the Sai faith embraced all the other faiths. Later on, as Bhagwan kept speaking, this devotee heard very little because his mind began to wander. Suddenly, unbelievably, he saw that Swami's hair seemed to have disappeared. His hair had become a clear, transparent aura. Amazed, the devotee then saw quite a different head of hair. He saw a head of hair that was shoulder length and it was black and with a slight wave, and he saw Swami's face change. His face changed into the face of Jesus Christ. The devotee gazed at this phenomenon with great interest, and slowly, as he watched, he saw Bhagwan's face, which had become the face of Jesus, now was changing again, and now he could not recognize what it was changing to. He says it was possibly Zoroastra or Buddha or perhaps some teacher unfamiliar to him. But then throughout the subsequent events, these two faces kept repeating, as if to only assure him that he was not hallucinating. And then as this scene went on, he saw Ramana Maharshi, Bhagwan Ramana Maharshi. He was a devotee of Maharshi, but after coming to Bhagwan, he was feeling as if he had been disloyal to Ramana Maharshi. Bhagwan settled his confusion by showing him that there was no difference between enlightened souls and God. The visions that followed after this were brief. He saw Rama, he saw Ganesha, he saw Shirdi Sai, he saw Lord Shiva too. And even as he was wondering why he did not see Krishna, he saw the form of Krishna. And he yearned now to see Bhagwan himself. And you know what he saw? He had the most amazing vision of Bhagwan in his various physical ages till then. Until the last scene, when Bhagwan's face became an oval of light. And then Bhagwan dissolved into pure light. There was no form at all. It was just bright illumination. This is only for us to know that He is the light, and that light is in us, and we and that light is one. And that light has many names: Madhava, Mohana, Narayana, Sai. So in this line we call out to Lord Sai, who is the master of nature, the one who enchants all hearts, and the one who is the all-pervasive Lord, the all-pervasive light. Let's move on to the last line.
Premavatara Prabhu Sai Rama.
Premavatara comes from prema, meaning divine, selfless love. Avatara means incarnation of God. In a broad sense, everything in the universe is a manifestation of God. Yet the term avatar is reserved for incarnations wherein the Lord deliberately assumes a specific form for a particular purpose. Bhagwan says the word avatar means descent. It is a descent from the state of the Atma to the state of the body. Out of his love and affection for mankind, the Lord descends to the human level in order to elevate man to Godhood. And Swami says such a descent does not in any way diminish divinity. Prabhu means God.
It might be pertinent here to recall a very moving incident that Mr. S.S. Naganand was witness to. He is a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan and a trustee of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. A few years ago, Bhagwan invited him for lunch to the Purnachandra Auditorium. When he went there, Bhagwan was sitting there and Mr. Naganand sat on the sofa. A young boy came and stood next to Bhagwan and Swami asked, "Do you know who he is?" Mr. Naganand replied, "Yes, Swami, I have seen this boy. He works in your kitchen." Bhagwan looked at the boy and suddenly his eyes became watery. After 2 or 3 minutes, he stopped. He dried his eyes and then he said, "You know, this boy has nobody for him. Do you know where he is from? He is from your state. He is from Kodagu, Karnataka." And Bhagwan went on, "There was nobody looking after him, and so I brought him here." And then he told Mr. Naganand to ask the boy if he was happy. And Mr. Naganand did that. And when he asked him, "Tell me, are you happy here?" the boy, needless to say, just started crying. He was so overwhelmed. Mr. Naganand says that Bhagwan is the embodiment of pure love, and so he was talking so affectionately with so much empathy for that boy. Mr. Naganand said that most of us don't spare much time for those who work in our house and we normally overlook these things. But the way Bhagwan connected with that boy was amazing. But the fact is, he connects in the same way with everything and everybody in the world. And he does this because he sees himself in everyone and in everything. He identifies himself completely with the person or thing and loves unconditionally. Well, we might say that Bhagwan is God, and that is why he is able to love in such a manner. But Bhagwan often addressed us as Prema Swarupalara, which means embodiments of divine love. He came down in human form to show us that not only is he God, but we too are God in a sense. And it is the same selfless love that exists within each of us. And if we are in complete sync with it, we too will be able to show the same love, radiate that same power of pure love towards all beings. So in this line, Premavatara Prabhu Sai Rama, we glorify Lord Sai Rama as a very incarnation of pure, selfless, unconditional, supreme love. So with this, we have attempted to gain a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now, with this understanding, let us sing this bhajan once again, along with the students of Bhagwan, as it is sung in the Prashanti Nilam Mandir.
Parteshwar Shri Sai Prabhu. Parteshwar Shri Sai Prabhu. Ishwarambanandana Sai Prabhu. Ishwarambanandana Sai Prabhu. Parteshwar Shri Sai Prabhu. Sai Ramana, Sai Ramana,
Sai Narayana. Parameshwar Shri Sai Prabhu Ishwara Banandan Sai Prabhu Parameshwar Shri Sai Prabhu Shri Allah Shri Sai Ramana Parameshwar Shri Sai Prabhu.
And now in the last lap of this program, here is an excerpt of a conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso, a former student of Bhagwan's University, who has been blessed to not only sing in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan for decades, but also compose many Sai Bhajans.
Now, I need to tell you one more thing. You know, before I came to Bhagwan's Institute, one thing that had drawn me so close to Bhagwan was bhajan. And I was, you know, going around and bhajan had, you know, transformed me in my life. And I think most of the devotees in this wide, wide world would tell you the same story, that it was bhajan that brought them so close to Bhagwan. And I was listening to those bhajans, and as a part of my preparation to join Swami's college, I was only thinking in terms of bhajans. Earlier, the songs that I used to sing to my mother were all Mohammad Rafi songs or Kishore Kumar songs, and singing those songs in public. But here was a totally different idiom. And then you won't believe me, I just composed two bhajans at that point of time, before I joined Swami's college. And they were beautiful bhajans which really prepared my heart to receive Bhagwan. To prepared me to join his college. Because all throughout I would only think of those bhajans, only recite those bhajans when I was, because there were so many other bhajans definitely, but these bhajans were specially given to me by Bhagwan for my purification, so that I could deserve to be in his college.
Before we go on, can we go back to the bhajan with your first composition which you sang in front of Bhagwan? That bhajan is all about compassion of the Lord. So what prompted you to choose these lyrics?
You know, this bhajan reflects how much values could be given to a person in a given point of time, just course of 6 to 7 months. Like before that, I couldn't have even thought of Ahalyo Dharaka. But then throughout these 6-7 months when Swami was talking to us, giving us discourses, one of the most beautiful values that Swami would tell us about was compassion of Sri Ramachandraji. And throughout, I used to feel myself like a lump of stone waiting there for the touch of God.
Wow.
And this Ahalyo Dharak was no other than myself. Like, I used to feel that I am nothing but, you know, just a lump of stone, inanimate. So it was a beautiful feel. On one side, I was getting bloated with my ego and feel of self-accomplishment and Swami talking to me almost every day and telling me, you sing very well every evening. And on the other side, my friends would tell me how ugly I was looking because of my attitude, because of my snobbishness. And when this bhajan was composed, these were the thoughts, this was the feel. Karuna Sindho Dasharatha Nandana Partipurishwar Ram. This, from my heart it came out that you are no other than Karuna Sindhu. You are the very ocean of mercy.
That brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can send us your feedback and comments by writing to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. The background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. So with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Life. Coming up next is Radio Sai Children's Hour. Prem and Ganesh, my colleagues, are waiting to take over. I will be back after the children's hour for a fresh episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And today we continue from where we left off last week. It is the second episode of Learning with Love, Anecdotes and Insights from the conversation with Professor Sudhir Bhaskar. It is going to be a very enriching session because he is sharing what he has experienced directly working with Bhagwan, working as an instrument of Bhagwan, living in his direct physical presence. So we will ruminate on what he says and what are the lessons that we can derive and implement in our lives. So Learning with Love, that's coming up in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. For the moment, Radio Sai, Children's Hour. Keep listening. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.